Hello, and welcome back to Neely's Bend Sermon Archives. Today, we're looking at the second sermon in the Easter series by Pastor Austin, and we're going to look on Jesus' command to love one another. This comes from John 13, 31 through 35, where he will give us two questions, and then he will answer those for us. The first question is, how do we love one another? And the second question is, why do we love one another? Stick around for more. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks and have a blessed day.
Last week, if you were here, we saw, and you may remember, that we're going to begin working through a series of sermons from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, from Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday. And this is a one-week time period, right? So from this Sunday to the next Sunday. And last week we saw that Jesus is the King of Israel, and how Jesus is the King that gave His life, and that Jesus is the King we should serve and we should follow. And then after that, Jesus would then spend time with His disciples. He would have the supper with them, and then He would wash the disciples' feet. And then after doing all that, Jesus then gives them a new commandment. A new commandment to love one another. So if you have your copy of God's Word this morning, turn with me to John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. John 13, 31 through 35. We're going to see this new commandment that Jesus gives to the disciples. In John chapter 13, verse 31, it says this. You mind flipping over, Larry, to the verse there? There we go. Verse 31, it says this. When He had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself, and glorify Him at once." Now, just so you remember, in our sermon last week, we saw the turn of events, right? Jesus previously had said, "The hour is coming." And then Jesus said last week, "The hour is here. It is time. My hour has come." And so what Jesus is saying here is His hour is here. It's in this moment that He is going to be glorified. It's in this moment that He is going to die and be resurrected. And so Jesus continues in verse 33. "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come." And in verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Jesus this morning, Lord. We thank You so much for how He surrendered His life and died on the cross for us to surrender our lives to Him. Lord God, I pray that You just help us all to remember the gospel, Lord, of how Jesus came and sacrificially died on the cross for us, the love that He showed to us through His death on the cross, Lord. Help us to remember that love. Lord God, this morning as I proclaim Your Word and preach Your truth, Lord, I pray that I just preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion, Lord. Help me to proclaim Your Word and Your Word alone this morning, Lord. Help us all to fend out the distractions that are around us, Lord, but help us to focus only on You and Your Word this morning, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love. It is an affection that we all, in many ways, desire and want, isn't it? It's a love, it's something that we all, and many of us, crave. We desire it. We see this in many areas of our life that we live. In our relationships, the one thing we want from another is for them to what? to love us. As husbands, we want our wives to love us. Wives want their husbands to love them. The very reason we fear losing a spouse or a loved one or a parent or a kid is because we love them, right? And they loved us. Teenage boyfriends and girlfriends, they want love, which is why they date and hang out with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And it's why they're brokenhearted so much whenever their boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with them. Love is what our kids desire so much from us as parents. Kids want to be loved and be shown love by their parents because love matters to kids. The same can be said about just any other type of relationship. If someone is wanting to be liked, it ultimately just means that they want to be loved by the people around them. In our day and time now with social media and us being able to like a post and like it again and again and again and as many other posts that you get, and to be able to post something and have that post liked by thousands of people possibly, the reason we want to be liked so much on these social media posts is because ultimately we want to be loved. People crave love. And in many ways, social media gives people the love that they may not have ever gotten from relationships before. People crave love, and this often means that sometimes people will look for a community of people who will love them. People will search for a group of people that they can be involved in where they feel loved by others. People want love. People crave love. People desire love, and so do you. Maybe sitting here this morning thinking, well, I don't really want to be loved. But the reality is you do. You do want to be loved. You do desire love. You may not always express it, but in so many ways you do desire and want to be loved. And ultimately, there's only one person in this world that can fully satisfy that love we have. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the one who wholly loved us. So much so that He died on the cross for our sins. He perfectly loves us. He wholly loves us. He fully and truly loves us. And because of that, there is actually only one community of people in this world that is supposed to be loving like Jesus. And that is the church. The church is supposed to love like Jesus loves us. As Jesus followers are to love other Jesus followers the same exact way that Jesus loved us. We should love one another that way. And today we're going to explore the love that Jesus has for us and how we should love one another just as Jesus loved us, because it defines us as Jesus followers. It defines us as God's people. When we love one another as Jesus loved the world sees the love of Jesus. So from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, we're going to answer two questions on loving one another. Two questions on loving one another. The first question that we have is, how do we love one another? How do we love one another? The simple answer is we love like Jesus loved us. Right? There's a whole lot to break down here, a whole lot to understand. If you go back to verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." From this one verse, there's two things to understand to knowing how we should love one another. The first is for us to understand who this one another in this passage is. Who are the one another's in this passage? And the one another's in this passage is the disciples of Jesus. He is speaking specifically to the disciples of Jesus, to His disciples. We see in previous verses that Jesus was with the disciples as He had just washed their feet. And then he spoke of how one would soon betray him, and directly after the one who would betray Jesus has left, Jesus gave this commandment to the disciples. He was telling the disciples to love one another. To love one another. He did not tell them to love those who were not disciples. He did not tell them to love their families. He did not tell them to love anything else. He told them to love one another. And the one another's in that room were the disciples of Jesus. They were the believers in Jesus. And these believers, these disciples, would eventually become the church. As we see in Acts chapter 2. And just to clarify, we are supposed to love those who are not believers, right? We are supposed to do that. And we are supposed to love our families. But Jesus makes it very clear here to the disciples that they are to love one another. To love each other. And here's what this means for us. It means that within this fellowship of believers here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church that we should love one another. That we together should be loving each other and loving one another so deeply. I think far too often we put more emphasis on loving those outside our church rather than loving those inside our church. Would y'all agree with that? I look back at my life and many years of growing up in church, and I don't really recall ever hearing a time where I was told that I was supposed to love the people inside the church. I heard all the time that we're supposed to love those outside the church. Love your enemies. Love those who hate you. Love those who persecute you. Love the world so they can hear the gospel. And yes, we 100% should do those things, right? But I don't ever remember being told that we were supposed to love one another in such a deep way as Jesus is commanding us here. We see this in very many other places of Scripture. We're commanded to love one another. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." We see it in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." And in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, "Love one another with a brotherly affection." Brotherly affection. "Outdo one another in showing honor." And every one of these one another passages are all in reference to believers loving one another. Believers loving each other. And we go back to the original question. How do we love one another? This is the second thing for us to understand. We love one another like Jesus loves us. We love one another like Jesus loves us. Or rather, like Jesus has loved us and continues to love us even to this day. Let's read verse 34 again. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." But how did Jesus love? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because Jesus loved the disciples and He loves us in so many ways. One thing when studying Scripture and when coming to the Word of God is we have to remember is context is key. You ever heard that before? Context is key. And so what I'm saying when I say that is ultimately when you look at a passage, you have to look at the surrounding passages as well to fully understand what the passage means. And so when we look at the context of this passage, when we begin to look backwards a few verses, we see the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. In the same chapter as this new commandment, Jesus loves the disciples by washing their feet. He loved them by serving them. He humbled Himself and became as a servant and washed their feet. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the early 10s and 20s and 30s and 40s of, Jesus' time. But feet were very dirty things during that time. They didn't have full covered shoes like we had. They had open-toed shoes, and often, sometimes, they would even go barefoot walking around. And so you can imagine that feet would be what? Very, very dirty. And often, whenever they would have a supper together, as they just recently did, they would recline at the table where they lay on their side and partake in the eating of the food. And so if you're laying on your side, where would your feet be? It's likely that it may be in the next person's face. It's not a very good place for feet to be when they're really dirty, is it? And so what we see here is Jesus humbles himself. He loves his disciples so much that he washes their feet. This Jesus who had recently rode into town on a donkey and was being declared the King of Israel was washing the disciples' feet. He was loving one another. Because loving one another means we serve one another just as Jesus served the disciples. But this isn't everything that Jesus done for the disciples, is it? Do you remember the story of the disciples being in the boat with Jesus and the storm came? And Jesus is sleeping. A massive storm comes rolling in. The disciples are fearing for their lives, scared to death as we all probably would be. And Jesus is just chilling in the bottom of the boat taking a nap. And they come down there and they run to him. Jesus, Jesus, save us. And Jesus wakes up and he calms the waters, calms the wind. The storm goes away. Jesus saved them. And then he taught them a very important lesson on faith. Jesus loves his disciples. And in just a few hours from now, from giving this commandment, Jesus would display his love for the disciples even more than they ever could have imagined. Jesus would love them by dying on the cross so they could have eternal life. He loved them so much, he gave his life for them. And church, it wasn't just these disciples that Jesus died for. It was you and me who Jesus died for. It was all of us. Jesus displayed his love for us through his death on the cross. I love what 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12 says and teaches. We already read verse 7, but we're going to read it again here. But before we begin reading this, we believe in a triune God, right? One God, three in persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus loves us, that also means that God loves us, correct? So when we read this passage here, we read that God loves us, I want you to know that this includes Jesus. So, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12, it says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Oh, there's a verse 8 in there. I'm going to trust you to click through this, Larry. In verse 9 here, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him." In verse 10, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for sins, for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. First, God is love. Amen. God is love. He is wholly loving. He is 100% loving, and there is not a single piece of God that is not loving. And because He is love, so too should we love one another. Because we abide in God as believers, and we should be loving one another as God's Word teaches here. And God displayed His love to us by sending Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for our sins so that we might live through Him. And as verse 10 says, I think I might have it. Verse 10 says here, "In this is love, Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Church, this is how Christ loved us. He loved us by dying on the cross for our sins. He loved us for so much that He was the propitiation for our sins. I love what Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says. It takes it even just a little bit farther. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the way in which Christ loved His disciples, and He loves even His disciples now. John chapter 15, verse 12 to 13, two chapters after chapter 13, Jesus comes back to this picture of loving one another, and He says in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Jesus laid down His life for His friends. Jesus died for those whom He loves. Jesus loved His disciples, and we are to love the same exact way Jesus loved us. By serving others in our fellowship, I don't necessarily believe that Jesus is calling us to physically die here, because Jesus is the only one who can die the perfect sacrifice, right? But I do believe that Jesus does call us to sacrifice things in our life that we can love one another with. That we love one another may mean sacrificing our time to serve someone else in our church family. Loving one another may be sacrificing some of our finances to love another church member. Loving like Jesus may mean that we sacrifice things such as tools and kitchen utensils that we hold on to so much to help someone out. Loving like Jesus also means that we return those kitchen appliances and tools to those who we borrow it from. Loving one another may mean making food for those in our fellowship, in our church, who can't make food for themselves, and I'll take it even farther than that, even for those who can make food for themselves. Loving like Jesus means we don't gossip about others in our fellowship, or for that matter, anybody else in the world. Loving one another means we don't knock people down with our words. Loving one another like Jesus means we confess to others when we've made a mistake, and we're quick to forgive those that confess sins against us. Loving one another happens in so many ways. To give you guys a couple of examples about loving one another life looks like in the church, within the church, my own life is whenever we were in Kansas City, and this happened twice when we were in Kansas City, we were living in an apartment on campus, and all of a sudden we got an email that told us that we had to move. We were told we were going to have to move from this apartment and go to another apartment. Ashton is 5 or 6 months pregnant at this time, so she's not a really big help of moving stuff, especially the heavier items. And so who do we go to for help? We go to our church that we had in Kansas City and ask them if they could help us. And this church loved us so much that several men and even women came and helped us move all of our stuff from this apartment across campus to another apartment. And then the same thing happened whenever we moved from Kansas City to Nashville. At this point, we had Auden, and she was 5 or 6 months old. I'm not really sure how old she was at that point, but she was alive and crawling around and different things like that. And someone's got to watch her, right? So it takes someone out of the equation of help. So we call our church and say, "Hey, can you help us to move our stuff and load it into a U-Haul so we can move down here?" And they're like, "Yeah, we can help you guys with that." So in one act of physical love, they showed us by loading our U-Haul. Loving one another looks like many things. And there's one thing in particular that I think we all struggle with. Jesus loved us so much that, and while we were still sinners, He died for us, right? And if our love is to be like Jesus, if our love is to be like that, dying for sinners, forgiving those sinners, then even when others in our fellowship sin against us, what should we do? We should love them by forgiving them. Just as Christ loved them by forgiving, or loved us by forgiving us, so we too should forgive those who sin against us. It doesn't mean that we just disregard the sin, but it does mean we forgive them. And we do it quickly. Church, I want to encourage you to seek out ways that you can love one another in this fellowship, because when we love one another, when we deeply love one another, we set ourselves apart from this world. And that leads us to the second question we have. Why do we love one another? Why do we love one another? Verse 35, Jesus says, By this, loving one another, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So why do we love one another? The first reason is because Jesus commanded it in verse 34, right? A new commandment I give you, love one another. But the second reason that we have here is because the love we have for each other, the love we have for one another, it defines us as Jesus followers. It defines us. It tells the world that we are Jesus followers, that we are His disciples. It's another time for us to use our context clues, and context is key phrase, right? Jesus had just told the disciples in verse 33 that He is going somewhere, and where He was going, the disciples could not go. And in later chapters, we see the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and how Jesus is no longer physically on earth because He has rather ascended to heaven, right? And so Jesus is telling the disciples this right before He leaves this earth. Because for so long, when Jesus was here on this earth, how were the disciples defined? They were defined by being with the physical Jesus, right? And so when Jesus leaves and Jesus goes to heaven and the Holy Spirit comes down, how then will the disciples of Jesus be defined? By loving one another like Jesus. It would be by their love for one another, as Jesus says. And how are the people supposed to know who was Jesus' followers even today? How are the people supposed to know those who are Jesus' disciples even today? By their love for one another. By the way in which we love each other. This is a characteristic that defined the early church, and this is a characteristic that defines even us. Just as us, when we see a brown truck drive down the road with some yellow letters across the back of it, and then you see this guy get out wearing a brown uniform carrying a package, we all know that that is UPS, right? And they are very much characterized by the brown, the yellow, and packages. Church, we are not defined by a steeple. We are not defined by a building. We are not defined by a logo, by a name. We're not even defined as individuals by wearing a cross necklace or cross earrings. We're not defined by having scripture verses hung up in our walls or in our homes. Church, our love for one another is what defines us as believers. Our love for one another is what defines us as Jesus' disciples. Our love for one another distinguishes us from any other group of people in this world. And our love for one another should be so strong, should be so self-sacrificial, should be so selfless that the world sees us, they see the love of Jesus. And they know that we are Jesus followers. Do your neighbors, do your friends, does your family know that you are a Jesus follower because of your selfless love for one another in this fellowship? When we all die and pass away at some point in the future, I hope that we all here at Neely's Bend can be remembered as believers, as disciples of Jesus that selflessly loved one another. I would love nothing more for us to be a church in this community that is known as a church that loves one another. Because not only does our love for one another set us apart, it shows the world the kind of love that Jesus has for them. It shows the world the love of Jesus. And church, this love for one another that we are to have, it isn't only a Sunday thing. It's not something that we just do on Sunday, right? It's something that we do every single day of the week. It's something that we do every single day of the year. Every single day of our lives, we love one another. In our sermon today, we've answered two questions. How do we love one another? And why do we love one another? We love one another the same exact way that Jesus loved us. Jesus loved us by serving us, by dying for us on the cross. He loved us with a selfless, sacrificial love. And we are to love one another with that same sacrificial, selfless love. And as we love one another, it ultimately defines who we are as Jesus' disciples. It sets us apart. It distinguishes us from the world. Our love for one another is a characteristic of Jesus' followers. Scripture has clearly taught us today that we are to love one another. So I ask you in this day, in this moment, is your life reflecting that you have love for one another in this fellowship? How have you been loving one another within this fellowship? Is there anyone in our fellowship that you have been unloving to or unloving toward? If that is so, I want to encourage you to love them by going to them and seeking that person out and just saying, look, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. Confess that sin to them. Ask them for their forgiveness. And I want to encourage you, if someone does that to you, then when they do that, you say, brother, I appreciate that. And you know what? I forgive you. Because that's what Jesus did for me. And do it quickly. Jesus forgave us quickly, didn't he? So too, should we forgive those quickly? And finally, I want you to ask yourself this question. How can I love those in my church more than I already am? How can I love those in my church more than I already am? I hope that as we've made our way through this sermon, that it made you think of our mission statement, right? It made you think of our mission statement, how we are to live in one another fellowship. Love in one another. Love is one of those one another passages of God's Word, right? We talked a little bit about this recent weeks ago. And we live by loving one another. We ultimately fulfilling the mission that we have set before us here as a church to live in one another fellowship. So let's be a church that lives in this one another fellowship by loving one another. If you're here today and you've never experienced the love of God, the love of Jesus, I want you to know that you can experience that love today. Maybe you don't realize this, but you've been maybe searching for love for quite some time. You find yourself posting things on social media to be liked and loved. You find yourself butting yourself into conversations with groups of friends so you can be liked and loved by your coworkers, by your friends, by your family. You find yourself trying to find a group of people that loves you back because you crave love. You're wanting this love to satisfy you. You're bouncing around from relationship to relationship, hoping to find someone to satisfy this love that you are craving. This morning, I want you to know there is no deeper love. No deeper love that one can have for you than the love that God has for you. God loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to earth to die a sacrificial death on the cross, to be resurrected and raised again so that you can have life. Jesus sent His Son to be the payment for the sins you have. A death that could connect you to the love of God. A perfect love, a holy love, a good love, an everlasting love, a satisfying love. John 3:16, a verse we probably all know. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you so much, He sent Jesus. And for you to experience this love that God has, all you must do is believe in the name of Jesus. Believe in the works of Jesus. Call upon His name and you shall be saved, as Romans teaches us. If this is you today, in this time of invitation, I want to encourage you to respond by believing in Jesus Christ, trusting in Him as Savior and Lord. And come and let's have a talk about what this means for you as you start this new journey as a believer, as a Jesus' disciple. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much this morning for the love that You have for us. The love that You have in sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, Lord, so that we can have life through Jesus. We can have a relationship with You, Lord. God, I pray this morning that You will just help us as a church to live in this loving one another fellowship with each other. That we will deeply love one another, deeply serve one another, deeply care for one another. That we won't do it just out of anything else but love toward each other. God, we praise You this morning. And we thank You for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.